Welcome to the best of the RSN Breakfast Club. Here's a little bit of what we did. Take a listen.
Good morning, Whitey.
Good morning. I'm happier than you this morning.
Why are you happier than me?
Well, I've just crafted my quiz, and I'm very, very happy with it. It's much easier to do the quiz when you're only doing it once this week. So you've sort of got sort of fresher questions, better questions.
I think you're better when there's more. I think you really start to dig deep and find and really rally when there's more quizzes through the week.
Amazing.
The three quiz week. I reckon the one quiz, I'm really concerned about this quiz, I must admit. I reckon you're getting lazy.
I've already made one mistake on it, I've just realised. I'm going to go back to it.
See, this is what happens.
Yeah. Overconfidence.
There was no mistakes when we had the Whitey five-question world-famous Vlado Stackhouse quiz for 3 days a week. Now,
what about last year during COVID? It was a seven-question quiz 5 days a week.
No, you're inspirational.
35 questions a week.
You're inspirational.
Over a long period of time. And I was gonna keep all the questions on file to bring out, and I can't find them all. Anyway.
There wasn't a lot of writing down going on with the questions. It was late markers coming in and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm happier than you because you're in a real kicking up a fuss this morning because you didn't have your pen.
No, I'm annoyed about this. There are little things in office life that just shouldn't happen. Now, every day after the show, I get my highlighter and my pen and I put it in little Frankie's drawer in his desk. And that's where it stays. There's a handful of pens there, and there's a couple of highlighters and all these paraphernalia that he goes with to make the show happen, as he does every day magnificently. But that's where my pen and my highlighter sit. And I went to the drawer today when I came in, and my pen wasn't there. And it's a simple blue pen. It's not a very sexy one. It's a, I don't know what it is. But it has a nice nib. Yeah. And it was a nice feel in my
nibbage
hand.
Is important.
Nibbage is critical.
Yeah.
Nibbage is critical. So it's not there, and I've got this poor substitute for a pen in its
place.
I've got
the same pen that you've got.
Well, in fact, I have to pinch one from Craig O'Button Boy because I was so unhappy with the other one that I was given. And I had to see if there's anything else around. This one is much more acceptable, but it's not the one that I want.
No, they're not good pens. But
someone
anyway.
Has pinched my pen. Someone's gone into the drawer and pinched my blue pen.
Oh, well.
Who does that?
Me.
Oh, it was you.
No, well, it wasn't me, but I'm a pen stealer, I must confess.
Well, pinch the crap ones.
Well, I usually do. If I have a nest of pens, I will always just steal the cheapest one because I don't want to take any sort of, you know, nice ones from people that might be sort of personalised, but I'm a pen stealer.
Well,
there's a lot of pen stealers in here.
Well, there are pen stealers in here.
I often send sort of set traps where I'll leave a pen in a particular position just to see whether it will be there the next day. And they very rarely are.
I want to know, if anyone's seen my pen, can you let us know? 0416 905052. If you're a pen stealer, I want to talk to you. 1-300-652-927. Or if you pinch stuff from work, I want to talk to you right now. I want to know what you've pinched and how you live with yourself. 1-300-652-927 if you're an office paraphernalia stealer. Oh, because it's unacceptable in my book. Unacceptable. I've heard a story today. Which I'm not sure how I'm going to recover from. There was a packet of Weet-Bix somebody brought in here and got pinched.
What?
Someone pinched a box of Wheaties or Weet-Bix.
No way.
True story. I've done some reconnaissance. See, it starts with pens and it ends up with Weet-Bix. It's a shambles, that is. It's unacceptable.
That hasn't happened, has it?
True story. I'm not making that up. I've had some conversations with some people around here who know things, and there's a level of frustration about things that go missing, none more so than the box of Weet-Bix. Winkers is in Castlemaine. Good morning, Winkers.
Morning, guys. Just a bit of reality. This is why everyone is a thief and everyone is a liar. Because there's someone here, everyone's stolen a pen in their life, and everyone's told a white lie or a lie. That just sucks in reality.
Well, that might be true, Winkers. It doesn't make it right, though.
It just makes it true. We just want to be dealing in facts and reality.
Well, it's hard to argue the facts.
Everyone's a thief and everyone's a liar.
Well, as long as we're okay with that, we can move forward. But I'm not sure that I can get too comfortable with that. No, you're right, Winkers. You're right. It's upsetting, but you're right. We're all thieves and we're all liars. It's not a very positive way to start the day, though, is it? It's not a very positive way to start the day. Thank you, Wingers.
I can't believe someone stole Wheat Bix.
This is the thing, mate. Starts with pens. Starts with pens.
Do you think someone was hungry, or they have a penchant for Wheat Bix?
I like what you did there with the penchant. I like what you did there. Poor old Wheat Bix Renner, very upset that the Wheat Bix no longer exist.
Maybe that was just a bit low and they were just thrown out, or the weevils found in it or something
disappeared, possibly in someone's bag on the way home. I don't know what happened. No one knows what happened to them. No one's owning up to the Wheat Bix stealing. the world's an unusual place sometimes. You've lost it. Bernard's on the road. He wants to talk some sport with us. 1-300-652-927. Good morning, Bernard.
Good on you, boys. You're giving us a good start to the day, huh?
Thank you, mate.
Listen, I just want to give a shout-out to the under-19 girls' footy carnival. Starts today down at Sandringham.
Yes.
The first match, I think it starts about 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Victoria Metro versus Western Australia.
I'll be there, Bernard.
Yeah, there'll be some good young girls running around half, I reckon.
Well, they better be, because we're going to draft a few of them.
I went down and saw a couple of matches down there on Good Friday down at Sandringham. The standard's pretty good.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's absolutely no doubt that the level of play coming through from the junior programs is far exceeded what was there 5 years ago. No doubt, Bernard. There's some good kids there. There was a game. It was a day on Monday at Werribee at what do they call that place? There's a name for it.
Werribee Football Ground.
Yeah, but there's a name for it. I can't remember what it is. Anyway, Werribee Football Ground. They all played on Monday as well, except for Metro and Queensland. Queensland pulled out of this element of the competition.
Have they?
So Country played. South Australia saw that game on Monday, and I'll be out there watching Metro play. WA today. So I'm looking forward to that, Bernard. And it's three games. So if anyone wants to go and watch some real quality junior footy today on the 19 footy, then you can get down to Trevor Barker Oval. You going down there, Bernard?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we've got a sort of a friend of the family running around in Vic Metro called Brooke Vickers.
Right.
I think she wears number 16 for Metro. So just keep an eye on her, huh?
Who's she barrack for, Bernard?
Richmond, mate.
No, it's no good to me. We'll see what we can do about that. We can turn.
You can all change.
Good on you, mate. Have a great day out there at Trevor Barker Oval. Good stuff. 1-300-652-927. It is good quality play. You would like to see this young talent emerging, Whitey, with your penchant, as you mentioned before, for coaching and junior sport and having junior athletes in your family now that only want to play one position. You would like to see some of the development coming through, I reckon.
Yeah. Need Jewel. Dual position players, probably those, are there?
This is a thing that they do in the under-8, in the NAB League and through the Championships series. They do throw them in different spots so that us as clubs, AFL clubs, can see them in different roles and see what they look like in doing different things and their capabilities at different positions, as you say. Because you know, if you're a one-trick pony and you're really good, that might be all right. But if you're a one-trick pony and you haven't got any point of difference, then it's going to be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So you've got to find different skill sets and different roles to really cement yourself as a prospect.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Very good.
You coming along?
I've
got some work to do.
I've been a bit busy.
You have been a bit busy. You have been a bit busy at the moment. Yes, you have.
Yes.
But that's okay. We'll get you through.
Yes. It was interesting. excuse me. I'm not sure what else you'd like to talk about this morning before we get into the quiz, but the IPL, Ben Stokes is out for the tournament. We didn't talk about this yesterday, but he broke his finger. And we saw a situation last year where Mitchell Marsh badly hurt his ankle and, you know, hasn't been able to get back into the Australian Test team since.
Yes.
The IPL is becoming a really interesting tournament. And look, it's here to stay. There's no question about that. But you've got this scenario at the moment where countries are almost allowing players to choose the IPL over playing for their country, which is sort of happening a little bit with England. In Australia, we've sort of gone a little bit of a different way this year with the fact that you've got Stark and also Hazelwood not going. Stark particularly, who clearly could have gone over there and played. They're playing in the Shield final starting today. But just how some countries are treating it a little bit differently to others, and the big countries, how that could affect potentially calendars moving forward when it comes to international cricket, because some of the lesser countries, and we've talked about this before, say a Rashid Khan, he's going to, he hardly earns any money playing for his country, but this is where he sort of cashes in. But as soon as we start seeing more of these big name players from England, from Australia, these sorts of countries where they get serious injuries that jeopardise their ability to play for their country, I wonder whether that will change the rationale as to what the international countries think of their main guys, their real headline acts playing IPL.
Well, if you can't really provide them with the living...
No, and this is the thing.
Well, the remuneration that gives them the chance to live comfortably, where other access points do, like the IPL and the T20 tournaments around the world, it's difficult to probably pull rank, I imagine.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we saw overnight, and I was quite alarmed by this story, Heath Streak has been... he's been suspended for 8 years for being involved in international cricket. Now, this was when he was coaching Zimbabwe and also coaching some domestic teams as well. He's just come clean and said, yep, I've been involved in match fixing in a variety of different ways, including introducing his players that he was coaching to dodgy types, for want of a better term, around sort of, you know, manipulating matches. Now, Heath Streak was, I wouldn't say he was a world superstar, but when he played, he was seen as one of the best bowlers in the world.
Yes.
Get a bit emotional talking about this.
Okay. Hear it in your voice.
But again, coming from Zimbabwe, as has been the case with some other players that have been mixed up in this, that the lure of significant money that they just wouldn't see becomes too much.
Well, that's right. So that goes back to your original point about Rashid Khan, those sort of players in the IPL and calendars, that there might have to be a little window put aside for this stuff so that those players can earn a living.
Yeah, and then just quarantine everything else around, which they kind of are doing, but it's more the fact that when players get injured in the tournament, so that when international cricket resumes after the IPL break, that you give them potential that players are unavailable for their country. I think it's just the way it's going to be.
I'm uncomfortable with that element of it. It's got to find a way to get around that. And maybe it's just the window. That's the rest period for everyone else. And if you want to play on and you get selected to make some cash from the IPL, go and do your thing. But I'm uncomfortable with not playing for your country because of it.
Mm.
But I understand from those players' perspective, the lesser nations, lesser developed nations, that's the only opportunity to get to make some cash.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw, just talking to Daniel Hughes yesterday, the benefit even for him, and then see some of the younger players like a Jack Edwards or a Jason Sanger, that they're playing a Shield final today with Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood. So as I sort of said to Dan yesterday, it's not just the fact that they're in their team and they're going to hopefully get out the Queensland players, but also just having them around the group, bowling to them in the nets. They're making them better players because they're available for this game. And that's how you're going to get better cricketers. But, you know, the world's changed.
It has. And I think Paul in the city wants me to change as well. He's given us a call in the open line. Good morning, Paul.
Well, half fun. Get with the program. Get into the 21st century. Use your iPad. Don't worry about the pen.
Oh, but you can't use your iPad on the paper. They're going to draw circle stuff and make notes and all that sort of stuff. I can't do that with the iPad, Paul.
Paper?
The paper.
What do you need paper for?
The newspaper, Paul. I need it. I like to turn pages. Don't you like turning pages anymore, Paul?
I do, but I need to. I've grown up.
No, you know what? I've tried the whole online paper thing and through the iPad or the laptop situation. It's not the same. I need a physical edition. I like to touch things and turn pages and write on stuff. I am an old man, Paul. To your point, I think you've nailed me in one there. I'm basically a very old man.
Unfortunately, we're both the same age and I fall into the same category. So I like to write on things.
Yep.
I like exercise books. I like notepads, as you know. I'm carrying about 5 around at the moment.
Yes, you're a notepad specialist.
I don't know. I like it. I don't like the iPad situation, just typing away and all that sort of stuff.
Although there is a little thing. There's a thing out that I wanted to get for my birthday.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
It's called the Remarkable. It's like an iPad. Yeah. But you get the pen and you write on it and file it away and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty. It looks pretty cool. I didn't get it in the end because it did seem a bit excessive. But it was something I'm venturing towards that level, but that's not It hasn't got the paper on it. It's not internet sort of stuff or apps and stuff. It's just basically a tablet you write on and file stuff away.
Yeah.
It's the permanent notebook.
Yeah.
The everlasting gobstopper sort of thing.
Mm.
So I'm warming to that sort of stuff with the pen and being able to write on that stuff and file it away and do that cool things. But I just can't do the online paper thing.
No, I mean, I'm really battling at the moment that on a Friday I like to open the paper and have a look at all the teams. That doesn't happen
well,
anymore.
Well, they're not there, so no point doing
no,
it.
No, and it doesn't sit comfortable with me. It's really affected me. I like, on Friday, opening the paper, even though I've seen them online on the Thursday night, just to see them just spread out. What all in the, I like that.
No, I'm with you on that.
Now, the whole thing is a joke in itself, that the teams can't be named on a Thursday night. I just don't understand that at all. But we've still got a situation, it goes further than that. How they can't clubs name their 23rd man when they name their 22, I find that quite ridiculous as well. Just name the 23.
No, because you've got to have something up your sleeve.
It is ridiculous. Do you agree?
I haven't thought about the 23rd man situation.
Well, we say Richmond and St Kilda have named their teams tonight, so they've named 22 of their 23.
Right. Yep.
Why don't they just name their 23?
No, I can't tell you that. It wouldn't seem that hard to do that, I wouldn't think. Maybe they've got last-minute preparations they need to just fine-tune.
I do find that quite ridiculous.
The Friday paper.
Because they'll know. They know who their 23rd player is.
Maybe.
Oh, of course they do. I've told you this before. They know their team's on the Tuesday, and clubs are going to wait till the Sunday or the Saturday before they name them. No.
Off the SMS, you think we're having a bad morning? The poor old dog. He's on the road again. But he sent a message through. Lads, the Monash is cooked. Four lanes, bumper to bumper. Traffic in this road is a bloody disgrace. Blow it up. So, yeah, my pen's a bad story, but the dog's having some sort of morning. Now, I'm with you guys. How can you look at the form on an iPad? Another message that's come through. Regards to the pen, you need to get the RSN nanny cam out. Have we got a nanny cam situation? Can we get some cameras floating around? Oh, I'm not too far off suggesting that around here. This one from somebody as well. Surely Felgate can't write, so steal his.
I do steal his.
And then I've got one from Michael in wherever he lives, and he's just got one word, Stuart. Matt Stuart.
The pen or the Weet-Bix?
No, well, possibly both. Possibly both. Thank you, Michael, for your SMS. I hadn't thought of Matt Stuart, but now that you bring that to my attention, it's 100% Matt Stuart. He'd be a pen pincher from way back. I know it.
A hungry pen pincher.
I just know. He loves Weet-Bix and pens. I knew it.
Do you reckon the person that stole the Weet-Bix also stole 2 litres of milk?
Upon the investigation about my pen, where I was illuminated to the situation with the Weet-Bix, I was also told about a situation where there was a two-litre bottle of almond milk brought in, thinking that would be the safest type of beverage to bring into a venue that no one would take home and steal. But that too disappeared. The almond milk is gone. There's a real problem. You're a leader of the pack around here. You are the biggest wolf in the wolf pack. I need you to sort this out.
Well, I'm very comfortable that I'll never, ever be accused of stealing almond milk.
No, I'm with you. Zero chance of me getting almond milk. There you go. There you go. Yes, boys, go the old blokes. You can't spill your cups on an iPad and then half your brekkie and still keep reading, says Scotty. That's a good point, Scotty. Making a very good point. So Matt Stuart, I'm putting him right in the mix, right in the crosshairs at the moment for the pen stealing. Possibly Weet-Bix stealing, but I wouldn't suggest almond milk stealing around here. Righto, Whitey. Let's get to it. 1-300-652-927. That is the number to call to be a part of the world-famous five-question Whitey Vlados Steakhouse quiz. All you got to do is answer question number 5 correctly, and you get a $210 voucher to Vlados, Melbourne's own world-renowned steakhouse. Family business for 960 years. That's what we're giving away, $210.
It's a great prize. It's a great quiz. And by the way, it was Haynes that James Blundell. We should get that to come out next day break or something. It's a great song.
It's a song. I thought you were talking about his undies.
No, it's an ad. He sings it in the ad. It's a really good ad. Well, can you get that, please, Joey? Okay, let's get into it. 1-300-652-927. Unsurprisingly, a full board of calls this morning.
I wouldn't have thought so.
And Big Dog, we're going to let him go first. Big Dog, good morning.
Morning, lad.
Oh, dog, you sound distressed.
Oh, guess where I am, Harp?
You're stuck in the Monash at Forster Road.
Oh, not even.
Where are you?
Not even at Waverley.
Oh, no, you're in for a long haul.
All right, let's get into it. Question
stay positive,
number
stay
one.
Positive.
Who is on top of the AFL ladder after the completion of 4 rounds?
That'd be the Western Bulldogs.
Very good start.
Good start. Real momentum here.
Second question. Who finished runner-up to Hideki Matsuyama in the Masters?
Will Zalatoris.
Oh!
Very strong start.
No one's ever run the board.
No one has ever run the board. The famous voice is next. Have a listen.
The advantage is gone for the team that comes first.
Who is that?
Gee, that's tough.
It's half.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll give you a clue.
Already?
Yeah, well, it's only a very small it's a very small thingy. Cricket.
A bit. Let's play it again.
The advantage is gone for the team that comes first.
Cricket.
Oh, I'm South Africa, mate.
Gone. Bad luck. Bad luck.
Poor old dog.
We've got so many calls.
You're shutting down
to
too quick.
Mark from Mooney Ponds.
He's distressed.
Mark from Mooney Ponds, good morning. Have a listen before we let you have an answer.
The advantage is gone for the team that comes first.
Who is that, Mark?
Oh, God.
it's not him.
Can you give me a country?
Yeah, Australia.
Also, Richie.
No.
Richie Benno.
No. It wasn't Richie and it wasn't Ricky.
Oh, Ricky.
John from Keilor Park has given us a call on 1300 652 927. We're up to question three. Good morning, John. John has gone. Let's go to Paul.
He's not gonna run the board.
Paul from Frankston. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Going well, thank you. Have a listen.
The advantage is gone for the team that comes first.
Who is that, Paul?
Richard Cheekwee? No idea.
Now, I'm almost prepared to give that the correct answer because he had a beautiful cover drive, Richard Cheekwee.
Couldn't have been that good. Didn't go too far.
Hey?
Well, he didn't go too far.
Richard Cheekwee was an exceptional player.
How many tests did he play?
They didn't play
Couldn't
well.
Have been that good. That's
he was
thinking.
A dominant player.
No, he wasn't.
Couldn't. Intimidating at the
All
press.
He was the bass player for Straight Six.
What?
That's all he was. He was in Lee's band, wasn't he?
He was a good player, Richard Cheekwee.
Well, it might have been okay, but he's not.
I'll show you some YouTube footage over breakfast. He's a very good player.
I can't see me watching
Spiro now. From East Burwood. Good morning, Spiro.
Good morning.
Okay, now have a listen carefully. This guy, I'll give a bit more of a clue. He's about to participate in a game of cricket here in Australia.
Which is the Shield
starting
final,
today,
clearly.
The Shield final. He's played a lot of cricket for Australia.
I know that.
The advantage is gone for the team that comes first.
Who is it?
Jeez, have you had Stephen Smith yet?
No, Spiro.
No,
Spiro.
No,
no, no. Dean from Sunbury. Good morning, Dean.
Morning, boys.
Who is it?
I've got no idea.
Left-hander, Dino. Left-hander. Left-hander.
No
the
idea.
The is gone for the team that comes first.
All right, Dean. Bad luck, mate. I'm not even going to say bad luck because that was pretty disappointing that you wouldn't even give a go. Cameron from Coburn. Now, Cameron's got so close so many times. This is your big chance, Cameron. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who is it?
It's Usman Khawaja.
Of course it is.
That was very dismissive of Cameron, wasn't it? Yeah,
very good.
As if to say, who are those other people?
Okay, two questions to go.
Well done, Cam.
Who was who was the men's world number two?
So I told you number, off this morning.
Number two
I knew it.
Man in the world of tennis, who tested positive to coronavirus this week?
Medvedev.
Very good, Cameron.
Daniil. D-A-N-I-I-L.
It's unusual.
It's unusual. I might change my spelling.
Yeah, that's right.
Daniil Huffett.
Maybe it was just sort of when on the birth certificate, the E was sort of, you know, a bit scrubbed out and they just put it down and sort of stuck.
Maybe.
Anyway, probably not.
Probably not.
Cameron, last question. We're putting this question in because was 100 days until the Olympics. That was yesterday. So I thought we'd have an Olympic flavour to the final question.
So we're 99 days.
Which Australian won a gold medal in the pool in 2016 at Rio in an event for the first time in 48 years an Australian had won a gold medal? Now, this person also had a father who played at two AFL football clubs.
Nice.
Who is this? An Olympian, a gold medal winning Olympian for Australia.
Yes. He's South Australian.
He is.
He's kind of a clue. His father played at the Adelaide.
Yes, that's correct.
Full forward.
I can't remember his name either.
So you're giving me a clue to the quiz when I need your answer.
I can see his face. I can't remember his name.
I'll give you a clue. Well, it might not help you. He won the 100 metres, the Blue Riband event.
If you told me his father's name, I could tell you who his son's name is.
I know who it is now.
Oh, then I'd love a clue, please, Daniel.
Well, you know everything about this person. you know more about them than I do.
I just can't think of his name offhand.
No, that's the problem.
His dad's name is Brett.
There you go. I would have given you that.
Bad luck, Cameron.
Gee, you gave him a long time. Poor old dog sitting there in the car.
Shani's listening to all of this. We're about to speak to Shani in order, so we've got to keep going here. Brody from Strathmore. That's a new name for the quiz. Brody, good morning.
Morning. Cole Chalmers.
Bingo.
Well done, Brody.
Bang. Come in, knock it out of the park, and a win.
That's why this quiz is so exceptional. It's just the way it's played. It's you know, you just never know what's going to happen.
One person who can't just keep it to two words. She goes a lot longer than that. And she's so good to talk to that we had to get her on because we learned yesterday evening that she has retired from the AFLW after being an All-Australian in the last couple of years. She's an absolute star. She's one of our favourites in the Breakfast Club. Shani Norda, good morning.
Good morning. I've got two words for you in that chatter.
They're the best two that I'll ever cop from you. Hey, listen here.
Right, I can't keep it to two.
What's going on? You're an All-Australian 2 years ago. You're playing a prelim on the weekend. What are you hanging up the boots for?
Oh, I'm done. I'm tired. It's time for me to go. I think it's so funny because I thought it was my last year kind of heading in, but you never really know. And then you start winning and you're like, oh, maybe I'll give it one more crack. But, you know, like my high-performance behaviours have just been sliding this year. And for me, 33, I've been playing sport for 18 years and mentally, like it was just a really hard year. So for me, you know, I lead by example and I didn't want to be taking any shortcuts and then the Collingwood girls thinking that that's okay. So for me, I told them that it is not okay to take shortcuts, so I'm quitting. but, you know, it's obviously really important for them on their journey. But also I wouldn't be leaving if I didn't think that they were in a spot that they could keep pushing forward. So, you know, they've learnt so much in the last couple of years and their high-performance behaviours have really grown, and I took a bit of a step back this year just to see if there was someone else willing to speak up and step up and take the reins a bit more. And I tell you what, like the young girls have really grown and stepped up, and I didn't even have to talk that much, which was great. But also, it just gave me the confidence that they're in a good place to be able to push themselves forward now.
Oh, well, it's a blow to the game, I reckon, because you've been nothing short of magnificent in your time in the AFLW. Oh, did you tell them before the game? Did they know coming into the weekend, or you kept it till after?
Yeah, no, I kept it till after. It's so funny. It was the complete opposite to netball because, obviously, in netball, I played it for a very long time and it was all about me. So I was like, hi, everyone, I'm leaving. But then, yeah, with footy, like, I obviously didn't play for that long and I loved my experience. Like, honestly, it feels like so much longer than 3 years. But, yeah, I just wanted to go quietly. Like, I didn't do enough in the sport to you know, have a big hurrah. And I was just, you know, for me, what something that's so great about Collingwood is that it is a really selfless team. And I didn't want them to be distracted, especially going into a prelim, or I didn't want to make anything about myself. So, I only just told them last night. So I literally told them and then announced it on social media and we're done.
So you said you thought it was going to be your last year. Was it not until the final siren in that prelim that you sort of confirmed it in your own mind, or it was definitely the case in the lead up to it all?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I'd actually love to talk to other athletes that have retired just about the process that they kind of went through. But no, I think for me, like, you know, straight after the wedding, I knew that I was ready for life after sport. Like, I just have really missed a lot in my life and sacrificed a lot because of sport. But then it was probably, yeah, in the last couple of games in the lead-up, I think getting into finals, it should have felt easier. It should have been more fun. And it was just really hard. Like, it was just getting harder and harder to get my body to training, to push myself, to mentally stay involved in the game. And, you know, I don't know if anyone would have noticed from the outside, but the fact I was thinking that way, I felt like I was letting them down. And I think from a process point of view, it's really important to make those decisions because you don't want it to be emotional. You don't want to regret it. You want to know that it was well thought through and all the rest of it. And I think, you know, I absolutely could have stuck around, but that doesn't mean that you should stick around. You know, so for me, I'm ready for that next phase of my life, whatever that will be. And, yeah, I think it was important for me to stick to my decision. Although, you know, I probably did feel like staying, but, yeah, it just wasn't right for me.
And it is great to see Dylan Sheil in the studio. It's not great to see him in the state he's in, but it's always nice to catch up with him. Dylan, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you feeling?
Physically, I've been better, as you said. But mentally, yeah, feeling good. Like, I've had a couple of weeks off now and ready to get back into the club and get stuck into my rehab.
So you're at peace with the situation? You've come to terms with the situation? You're going to be out of footy for a while?
I mean, I think I was at peace with it when I hurt myself. I mean, it happened, and injuries are a part of the game, and once they happen, you can't go back in time and prevent them. So,
that's very true.
I've had my fair share of surgeries and, you know, injuries in my career, so I've been through this before, and I'll get through it and I'll be back. So it's not the end of the world.
I was keen to ask you that ever since it happened, because knowing you through the last couple of years like we've done, and the way you look at things and the perspective you have on life and footy and where it all sits, I was interested to get your feedback on what it means for you and the way you deal with it mentally. Because some players are so caught up in the bubble that if something like this happened, it derails them significantly and takes them a while to get their head around it. But you've always had a much better balanced outlook, I reckon, on what footy is. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But is there any element of you that's thinking, oh, bloody hell, we're going okay here, and there's a bit to like about what we're doing, and I'm not going to be there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I lose perspective on football and myself in the game quite frequently. It's just I just need to keep checking myself to know what life is and the significance of footy in my life. And it's certainly as high as it's going to be. But, like I said, I've experienced injuries before. We see guys get injured in the game. You guys had Tay Adams in here the other day, and it just, you know, you just need to, it's better if you can just accept it and get back into, you know, what the task in front of you rather than dwelling on it and getting upset and making your girlfriend or your family or your friends around you miserable and kicking the dog at home. It just doesn't help anybody.
Don't do that with a bad knee. You shouldn't be kicking the dog
with a bad knee. So in terms of, you know, accepting it, moving on, it makes the rehab, makes the recovery a lot easier, and your relationships around you a lot easier. I've felt, and the feedback I've received.
It's been a little bit like RPA in here with Taylor in here yesterday, and now you today, both with crutches. Taylor has spoken before about he has struggled at times when he's had injuries. Really quite badly, and he's needed to seek counsel from within the club to try and deal with or find ways of dealing with it. Does it help that you've had injuries before, that you kind of know what to expect, you know what the sort of the recovery processes are, and you kind of get better at it the more you get injured? I mean, not that you've been, I wouldn't ever describe you as injury prone.
No, but I've had, this would be my 10th surgery. 10th in my 10 years. I've just been really fortunate to have all my operations post-season and haven't missed too much football. This will be the most, you know, amount of football I've missed in one injury. Just the timing of it was really poor for this time round two versus, you know, doing it at the end of the year. Mm. But, yeah, like, I could completely understand when guys are, you know, really suffering mentally and emotionally with a long-term injury. And, you know, because you sort of, when you get caught up in football, you sort of put your worth in how you're feeling physically, and you know, you see yourself as, you're measuring yourself by how you perform out in the field, how you're training, how frequently you're able to, you know, get up and play, like I said, for your club, because that's, you know, ultimately what they're employing you to do. So it's just, it can be really challenging, and just to sort of, can you be really clear about, okay, yeah, football is what you do, it's not who you are, but can you still live a, you know, a a life, you've got friends and family, there's so much more to be living rather than just physically being fit and performing. So, but like saying, that's really challenging. Fortunately, I've had, I've had enough surgery to sort of prepare me for this one that I know I'll be able to get through this and get back. And at the moment, I'm just going to be really patient with the healing process. And, you know, in a few weeks' time, I'll be able to walk, and a few more weeks' time, I'll be able to run, and then I'll be back, and it'll be like I was never gone.
We'll get you sort of your timelines from you shortly. And again, using Taylor as a bit of a reference, and you know, obviously we're former teammates. One of the things that you do really well at Essendon is you lead by example with the way you prepare, the way you train, that elite standard. Is that, particularly with the pre-season you guys had, because I think Essendon has probably trained harder in the pre-season than maybe they've ever had, or at least in this sort of generation of players. Is that harder as well to sort of, you want to keep that momentum going with all that hard work that's been done over the summer, new coach, new game plan, all that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, once you sort of got a bit of momentum, or you feel like, you know, at the club, we feel like we're on a good thing at the moment, and it's not converting to wins yet, but hopefully it does. But you certainly want to keep that going, that feeling going. Once you sort of get a bit of reward, you know, with the way you're going about it, you just want to keep going. You want to keep going again. And, you know, with Taylor was, you know, been in some really good form. He had to come off an All-Australian year last year and started the year off pretty well individually, so it'd be challenging to, you know, have that sort of, you know, interrupted. That can be almost harder. Whereas, you know, myself, it wasn't like I was in great form, so it was like, okay, I could easily accept an injury and I could regroup and get back at the end of the year with the fellas. But, you know, it's when you get to watch your team go on and play some really good footy, it can be really challenging because you're like, you sort of feel like you're missing out.
Yeah.
But like I said, you just have to accept and be patient. And, you know, what's the best thing for you to do at that time? And it's not to dwell and get upset and wish you were out there. The guys, it's, okay, I need to do the task in front of me. I need to recover, get better, still eat well, get ready to train well, be a good person to those around me, and get back as soon as you can.
So take us through the timeline, because you've got an interesting injury in the sense that initially it was going to be sort of that 6 to 8 range, and then you kind of had a decision to make, I think, whether you get it fixed properly or get it sort of 3/4 fixed and get back earlier. Is that kind of right?
Yes. Yeah, so the people who report it might have just jumped the gun a bit. They wanted to release something a bit earlier than when we knew the answers and the details of what was required in terms of the surgery. So when you do a meniscus, and I've had this my third operation on a meniscus now, so I'm pretty knowledgeable in this. I'd like to think
Dr. Julian Fellow type. Yes.
That's actually Professor.
Professor.
Professor Fellow, please.
I have called him Doctor, and his actual title is a Professor.
Yeah, and they get upset about that. Don't be calling the wrong title, mate.
Put 20 years of study into getting the title, you would be. No, he did a really good job for me, Julian. But so yeah, you can repair a meniscus, and that's you know, sort of trimming out the tear or the damage or the fragments of, you know, the wear and tear of a meniscus. That can happen in a single incident, or it can happen over course of time. And you know, that's, you know, it's a really, you know, relatively quick return. I said that 6 to 8 week mark, it's you know, can sort of get the surgery done, get back, be running soon, and up and going. But for me, because I was going to lose a significant chunk of my meniscus if I was to do that, we thought it'd be best to repair the meniscus and save as much as possible, which requires a, you know, a longer return, which is what I'm in at the moment. So we're looking at about, you know, that 16 week mark for me to be back to playing.
So if you lose the meniscus, just for those playing at home, or a good chunk of it, it creates problems down the track with the wearing of the bone on the bone. Is that what happens, and that's why you wouldn't do that?
Yeah, so it's like the cushioning between, you know, in your knee for your bone. So if you sort of have not much of that or none of it, then yeah, you're sort of exposing the bone to, you know, arthritis and that later on down the track. And yeah, I mean, probably in the short term it wouldn't affect me, but long term it could. So yeah, I mean, we're just looking at the longevity of my knee and my health, and we're really negotiating 8 to 10 weeks of footy, not 16 weeks. So I was going to be out for, you know,
eight anyway.
Yeah, around that. Anyway, yep. So
that makes sense.
It's back for finals, yeah. You know.
Back for the finals. That's right.
Yeah, back for finals.
Bombers are charging late. Can't see that being a problem. Yeah. You're also a man that likes to think a little bit laterally when it comes to preparation and lifestyle choices. Have you got? You used to jump in the freezer chest and do your thing with the.
I still do.
The Wim Hof. You still doing that? Yeah, good.
Yeah, we've had to have a bit of a break since during the surgery. But yeah, I still do that.
Have you looked into any alternate ways to recover and from this surgery?
Yeah, of course. where do I begin?
Well, at the start.
At the start.
I'm really keen to find out.
There's so many. It's been a while since you asked me this question, so I actually don't know where to start, where I left off when we were talking about it last. But at the moment, I've had a good break from the professional life of football. I've just literally been doing nothing for 2 to 3 weeks recovering. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to just sort of getting back into the water, getting back moving for my knee and for the health of my knee. I just joined the Brighton Seabars at the moment, so I'm looking forward to getting down there in the mornings and getting in for a dip in the winter months of Melbourne and into the steam room. So enjoy that part of my recovery and the performance side of things. And just looking into like sort of tools or equipment that can help. With the recovery focus of the rehab process of the knee, so there's a few sort of tools out there that I can use that can help build up the hypertrophy of the knee muscles and the yep. quads and hamstrings and calves, because it's sort of wasted away pretty quickly in the last 2 weeks. So
that'd be annoying.
It's going to be so that's a big part of my rehab, is building up the muscle strength and size around the knee. So there's a few things out there that I can use to help get back that are quite legal.
That's important.
Quite legal.
That's very important. There's no rubbing camel humps on your knee or anything.
None of that. More electronic muscle stimulation.
Oh, the EMS.
EMS. So yeah,
this is a real sort of Daniel recovery lab.
You need
areas.
To jump in the recovery lab. Just jump 4 White Street in Windsor. That's where you need to be, just to get your recovery sorted. Okay. We've got all that stuff: the EMS and the ice and the things. Yep. You love it.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Right. Good plug for recovery lab too. Well played, Whitey.
All right. Take a break. Come back. Let's talk Essendon.
We're not breaking.
I haven't been at the club, so there's not much I can really share about.
Well, that's even better.
Haven't you not been at the club?
Well, there's not much I can do. I mean, I can't sweat. I can't, in terms of the wound, I can't sweat. I can't get in the pool. I can't do all these, I can hardly move. I've been in a splint for 2 weeks, so I can't be doing too much footy either. So the best thing was for me just to keep off it. But I'll be in there today and getting into it.
So let's go there about what you've seen in the last 2 weeks, because
you haven't been there. It's perfect.
It was, yeah, that's right. You've been watching like us on the television.
Right. Like us.
But it was just a nightmare day against Port. The poor start, 3 key players get injured. Questions already been asked about Ben Rutten and the direction of the club and all these sorts of things. And then in the space of 2 weeks, you have the most extraordinary performance or extraordinary turnaround against St Kilda, and then backing up with a good performance against Sydney, albeit not a win. Were you surprised at how the last 2 weeks unfolded?
I mean, it's pretty rare to go from 1 week like that, Port Adelaide, to next week against St Kilda. And St Kilda didn't have the best day either, but it's pretty rare to see a club have a turnaround that significant. And then even better that we could back up with that type of effort against, team that's having a really good season at the moment in the Swans. I mean, it's not like a surprise that we're capable of it, that it didn't just happen over a meeting after Port Adelaide or one training session. It's been a build-up of, a few seasons, a few pre-seasons, and changing a few things, the culture of the club, the training standards, and having drafting really well. It's an accumulation of factors that have helped get to the club to where we are today. I mean, not like we're a finished product, but it's great that guys at the club and footy club are starting to see that it's working, what we're working towards, and it's like not doesn't guarantee any success, but it's just good to see that a lot of training and effort and focus into improving our performance. It was good to see that in the last 2 weeks, and even more importantly that we keep building on that it doesn't just go okay that we've we haven't earned the respect of the competition through one win and a competitive game. We actually need to do this over a season, seasons, and then we have the respect of the competition.
So getting the respect of the competition, a lot of that comes down to a team that's prepared to show resilience. It's one thing to be able to play really exciting footy. It's another thing that when things don't go well, that you can actually respond from that. So how important was that, that after the Port Adelaide loss, to be able to fight back, but then against Sydney a few times, kind of get behind and then be able to push back? Does that give you, as a leader of the footy club, more confidence than an exciting brand of footy where you kick 8 goals in a quarter?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you remember, you walk off the ground on those games like almost like more satisfied, even though we lost against Sydney. You almost feel more satisfied as opposed to the St Kilda game where, you know, it was quite a significant win. Because the Swans really challenged the club, and we were challenged to be our absolute best. And our best didn't get us the win, but all we can ask is to bring out the best we can bring, because it's the best we can do.
The VFL is a very important component of the pathway of Australian rules football, and it's a revamped VFL competition. It's an Eastern Seaboard competition this year with 22 teams, 16 of those in Victoria. I don't know how it works. Hopefully Josh Fraser can help us out. Former number one draft pick, champ with the Magpies, was involved with the Blues coaching as well for the last couple of years, and now the senior coach of the standalone Northern Bull Ants. He joins us in preparation for a big season. Fraser, good morning.
Thanks, Harv. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, buddy. Lovely to have you on. How's your world like as a standalone VFL coach with the Northern Bull Ants, one of the great footy clubs in Victorian and Australian rules football history, alone again? How's it feel?
It feels great, mate. It's been a lengthy process. I can't sit here and say it's been all smooth sailing. It's had its challenges. But we're incredibly proud that we've been able to keep the footy club alive. As you mentioned, a really proud footy club of over 138 years of history. And I don't think anyone connected with the club wanted to see it drift off into the distance without, you know, some sort of fight to try and keep it alive. So it's been an incredible amount of work by a few people. Look, we had our main training session last night out at Preston City Oval, and it's a great feel. I mean, we had a quick meal and now for the team or the squad afterwards, and it was really that sort of community connection type of feel of a footy club that you sometimes don't get at the highest level. But
yep.
It was great to see the spirit well and truly alive.
The importance of keeping it alive, the footy club, and I agree with you. It's, having been a dedicated Preston Northern Bull Ant myself at the end of my career, I learned to love and appreciate the history of the footy club through my short time there. The possibility of that not existing anymore, not surviving the alignment separation phrase. How real was that?
It was reality. I mean, I think some people assume that when Carlton ended the alignment as quickly as they did, that the Bull Ants would just carry on as per normal, but the club was effectively dead. So it really just, it was born off the back of, obviously some disappointment with the alignment ending, but it was born off the back of really a group of people not wanting to see the club die. And, I guess from my personal point of view, came at a time where I also lost my role at the Blues, and so I had a bit of time on my hands, and it was something that I was really keen to sink my teeth into. And probably in my time at Carlton, just, you know, learning and understanding the history that Preston had, it was certainly a worthy cause. And we were really flying blind, to be fair. I mean, we didn't exactly know where this was going to go and how many hurdles we'd have to jump through, and if at all, if it was possible financially. But again, you know, with an incredible amount of work put in and a lot of support from the community and key stakeholders, and along the way being able to generate some corporate partners and some members, we've been able to get it off the ground. And, you know, we're not sure where we sit this year in terms of on-field performance, but our priority is to make sure that the club's alive and we try and set it up for a bright future.
And Josh, it's a big round one game against the Williamstown Footy Club at Preston City Oval. Some classic games in the past. I remember watching a few more, so I'm sure the ground's in great condition now. Back in the day, the ground was a little bit dusty when the two teams used to battle it out. But you're right, no better challenge than playing one of the best teams in the competition to see where you're at right up from the start.
Yeah, I agree, Jono, no doubt. I mean, we're going to embrace, and that's probably been the way we've operated since the start of this process. We'll just continue to embrace and adapt to any challenges thrown our way. And I mean, even the challenge of getting our venue ready for Sunday's quite a big task as well. So we're working hard on that this week. And It's pretty daunting in some respects to face Williamstown first up as you return to as a standalone club. But I guess in the same breath, you know, as I said, we're a club that wants to embrace these opportunities, and for our young group, I know they're really looking forward to it, and we're hoping the Preston community and the old Preston people can get behind the footy club and turn out on Sunday for what we hope is a great day.
Saturday at Marvel Stadium, the Western Bulldogs get a chance to make it 5 wins on the trot to continue their perfect start to the season. They've got the Gold Coast Suns, 4:35, check your local guides. And I reckon Jason Johannesson's pretty keen to make it happen. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Jason.
How you going, fellas?
We are going very well, thank you. Nice to have you with us in the build-up to another big game for you. When you got the start of the season, are you a sort of guy, Jason, that goes through and goes, oh, I can win that one, we might lose that one? Well, do you do a bit of a checklist of what might happen at the start of a season, or is you just get to the first game and see how you go?
No, I'm definitely not that type of guy. I sort of have to get told who we're playing this week because I have no idea about the fixtures. So, it's been a great start for the boys, and, we're just looking to build momentum and keep it going.
JJ, I'm sure you don't look at fixtures, but I'm sure you look at venues. Now, Ballarat was good last week, a great win, but, gee, it was cold and wet. Now you're back under the lid at Marvel. That definitely suits the way you play your footy.
Yeah, definitely. it was interesting conditions last week at Ballarat. Probably wasn't the worst it's been in previous years, but, my best footy probably at Etihad, it's the style of play that we like to play as a team as well. So, we love playing there in front of our home fans. But, Ballarat was awesome. It built such a great connection with the community out there. And we seem to play some very good footy there as well. So it's good to get a win in front of our Ballarat fans.
You've obviously started the season really well, Jason, as a team. Have you exceeded early season expectations, or did you feel that this was possible from this group early in the year?
Oh, definitely. In pre-season, we thought it was possible. We knew there was a few key factors in our game that we wanted to work on, especially defensively. And I think defensively we ranked definitely in the top 4. I don't know if that's for sure, but in terms of intercepting the ball, limiting the opposition inside 50s and scores against, and our tackling pressure has been unbelievable. And, that's the stuff we really want to improve, and we thought that would make us a great side and be hard to beat. And, so far, we've definitely lived up to the standard that we want, and we're just looking to improve.
And I guess one of the things, Jason, a part of the reason you've been so successful is pressure on spots. And you were squeezed out at the start, which I think surprised everybody.
Yep.
Was it a jolt for you as well? And how has that affected in a positive way your footy?
No, it wasn't really a surprise. Obviously, it was disappointing. But, we're at the stage at this footy club where you have to be playing good footy to be in the 23, it is now. But for me, I just, lost belief in my game. And, I had a good chat with Bevo and Rowan Smith, and it was just about keeping my game simple. And I went back to the VFL, and, just knowing what I need to do as a teammate to impact the game and use my strengths. And, that's going to be the way moving forward at this footy club, because we have such good depth. And if you're not performing at AFL level, then there's definitely guys in the VFL that will squeeze you out.
And JJ, does that, with Caleb Daniel now missing this week with the 1 week suspension, does that now push you back to what I think is your best position with that running defensive type role?
I don't know what match committee is thinking, but personally, I love playing half back, but I'll play anywhere the team needs me. I think last week I played probably wing, half forward, a bit of back as well. So who knows where I'll play? I'm just happy to be given a role and try my best. But I think Hayden Crozier might be pretty close to returning, so he might be come straight back in and slot in the back line. But, yeah, we'll wait and see.
Where do you sit in the team meetings, Jason? I'm intrigued by this.
I'm in the second level, behind Bont, Taylor Dre, Lockie Hunter and Mitchie Wallace, next to Adam Treloar, Josh Dunkley and Lathan Vandermeer.
Has that been your seat for some time?
Sorry?
Has that been your seat? Have you been the sort of same seats on the bus sort of thing for a while? Has that been your seat for a couple of years?
Yeah, I reckon a good 6 years. And I remember a couple of years ago, one of the first years, tried to sit in my seat and I wasn't too happy. but yeah, it's at that stage where everyone's, you know, sort of got their name tag on their seat and no one sits anywhere else.
The reason I ask is when you talked before about not knowing who you're playing, there's a lot of meetings that are had in footy clubs these days. I'm sure they reference it at some stage. I'm just trying to, I thought you might have been up the back a bit further.
No, I'm pretty good. I pay attention. we usually have, you know, one opposition team meeting, and that's when I find out who we play this week. But other than that, I'm pretty good, and I'm pretty vocal in meetings, so... I'm not like that with the, you know, the Simpsons fake glasses sleeping in the back.
hey JJ, do you know it's the Bonds 150th then this week? Has anything been said about that throughout the week?
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable. I think there's going to be a lot of highlight reels on social media and pumped through the football club, and it's going to be a special weekend for him, and you know, he's become such a great player. And you know, he's going to, at the end of his career, he's going to definitely be one of the greats like you, Jono, a legend. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I've had the opportunity to play with him and look forward to playing some good footy with him for many years.
Fox footy last night, and I love watching you on Fox footy, and sometimes I like, in fact, all the time I watch Nick Riewoldt, and I like watching him as well when he talks about footy. He did say a very odd thing last night in regards to concussion and the protocols and the 12-day system the AFL are running with now. I'd like you to have a listen.
I'm taking it as far as I can take it.
To where? To where?
To Supreme Court. I'm going for an injunction. Very, I understand the severity of concussion, and we heard Chelsea's, but so there's a very clear parameter here, and the parameter is if I feel okay to play, then I'm taking it as far as I possibly can to play. When you give as much as players give their whole careers for one thing, and that's to play in a grand final and win a premiership. And last year, you would have been able to.
Yep.
Last year, you would have been able to, provided you passed the test. There was no... And it's because of the ambiguous way, I think, in which concussion can be diagnosed. Now, I'm not talking about a situation where you've been stretched off and you don't know your own name. Let's be really clear. But if I'm feeling OK, and they're saying you've got to sit 12 days out, which is an arbitrary number, well, then I'm seeking an injunction and I'm trying to play.
So the former Kilda captain, who played in a couple of grand finals, so he's been there a couple of times, suggesting that with the current situation, Jono, where there is no bye at this stage before the grand final, which may change just by the way, that he would take as much action as possible to make sure that he was available despite a concussed diagnosis. What's your take on that?
Yeah, if he was feeling okay, he'd push it as far as he could. And you know what, Half? We can understand the mentality around that because of, you know, the passion to play. If I'm feeling okay, then I should be able to get out there and do it. But with all the research and everything that's been undertaken in the concussion space, and we've come to that decision now of the break to allow the brain and the body to heal post a head knock, I think it's really important, and we've got to be really careful here. Look, I go back to my own personal experiences of being knocked out a couple of times early in my career, and I played the following week, Half, and I don't know whether you've sort of been through that as well, because I played the following week because I was feeling okay. Yep. I passed the tests and I was feeling okay, but I played poorly the following week. So was I really okay? So mentally I'm going to myself, yeah, I'm okay, I've passed the test, but was I really? Yep. So if I had taken the extra week, which is happening now, then maybe it's a better result for that following performance that you're playing. So that's where it becomes a little bit tricky now, because the player will say, yep, I feel great, I'm ready to go. But with all the data, are the players really ready to go? And that's why now we take a break, because we need time for them to heal, even if you are feeling okay.
Well, we're seeing that 12 days at times is nowhere near long enough for a lot of the concussions. Plenty that can come back after just the week and be fine, because it's not as severe, because every player reacts differently. But my thing is, Jono, if there is a 12-day protocol in place, and you agree, you've signed a contract to play under the rules of the Australian Football League and whatever interpretations and rules that they put in place, how could you fight it? I mean, I'm sure there's probably ways you could do it, but don't you make an agreement with yourself and your club and your competition that you will play under their conditions?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, you do. You sign on the dotted line, and you fall under the parameters of what is set by the head office. So that's just the nature of it. You've got to accept it. Chelsea Randall has accepted it in a really, really positive way, and it'd be tough for her this week, no doubt, watching her teammates prepare and get ready for a grand final. And she's such a big player at that football club. But the way that she's spoken this week, I think, has been extremely professional. I think it's been enlightening to hear a player understand the current situation of concussion and dealing with it and accepting the fact that you do need to rest and your brain is more important than the game.
That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.